Hey everyone, it's your gal pal Emily. Surprise, I'm at the beginning of this episode, which only can mean it's a finale. This is the finale for Into the Revelia. So I thought I'd pop in early and do all of the ads and everything ahead of time so that you can just listen right through until the end. I love their nerdy merch. That's a direct quote about Quote Unquote Co. They have merch with D&D, queer, video game, anime, meme, and a bunch of other awesome nerdy inspired designs. They make great gifts for your nerdy or queer friends and family. And if you're already there, why not grab a little something for yourself? With free shipping in Canada and 20% off your first order using the discount code TITTIES with double D's, why not head over to quoteunquoteco.com and you can quote me on that.
There's nothing better than waking up to a cup of fresh roasted coffee that is making a difference. Birchbark Coffee Company is First Nations owned and operated and is proud to offer organic, fair trade coffee that is grown and produced by farmers that are Indigenous descendants. Their lively and sweet Two-Spirit Medium Roast supports the Two-Spirit Foundation, and their Summer Solstice Dark Roast boasts flavors of black pepper and rich dark chocolate while bringing clean drinking water to Indigenous communities. Have your morning coffee make a difference by picking some up at birchbarkcoffeecompany.com or find them on social media at Birchbark Coffee Co.
I've been working on my Steve cosplay, and I found the perfect piece to finish it off at the costume shop. They have wigs, costumes, contacts, and they even have a cosplay section on their website for people just like me. Head on over to thecostumeshop.com/?REF equal sign tabletop titties to get started. That's thecostumeshoppe.com. Spelled ye old way. Make sure to use the code tabletop titties with double D's to get yourself $10 off at checkout. Maybe I should make a Imogen White cosplay next. I do have some housekeeping to go through, so bear with me. Our Black Friday sale is extended until December 6th at 10 a.m. Central Time is when it will end. A reminder, that is $12 tees and 10% off everything else. So it's the perfect time to grab some titties merch. You can find that at tabletoptitties.threadless.com. Make sure you're following us on social media at Tabletop Titties. And if you tweet using hashtag TTTitties, you get your name on the list for season 3 for an NPC to be named after you. So it's the perfect time to do that as well. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube and following us on Twitch. We do have some mid-show streams and things already planned. So you'll be sure you want to watch that live on Twitch, or you can watch them after the fact on YouTube. And then making sure, of course, you're following us on social media, like I already said, so that you stay in the know. Next week, we do have an episode coming out. We are doing a Q&A episode for all of season 2. So Into the Revelia and Titties by Night. If you have any questions at all about podcasting, about D&D, about the campaigns, about the shows, about us, about science, don't ask us questions about science. Well, someone might have the answer. I won't, but I can help you with podcast editing. If you've got any questions about that, I can help with that. So you can submit your questions on social media at Tabletop Titties. You can head to our website at www.tabletoptitties.com and you can click the contact form. You can send us your questions there, or you can email them to us at tabletoptitties@gmail.com. Or finally, you can just watch live and shoot us your questions in the chat. All of those options are good options, and we look forward to answering them. All right. I think that's everything. That's all I have. Oh, God. That means it's time. So without further ado, ahem. Last time on Tabletop Titties, Into the Revelia.
Ah, there you are, loitering around my lobby like lost little puppies. dear Snout and his old friend should make quick work of you. I believe cold-blooded murder runs in the family. Isn't that right, Korak? Or should I call you Spaghetti?
Certain compromises had to be made to find my way back to this material plane. He looks like a rotting mass of pasta. I realized last time, dear sister, I took the ironic approach, making you harm and break those you love. Let's see what it's like on the other side.
And I pointed Steve, Crown of Madness. Ooh. Steve is mine now.
Steve, finish her.
She is down. Dr. Stella is down. You're down?
I'm down.
Korak disappears into a cloud of ash and reappears next to Borba and Snout and just wraps spaghetti tendrils around Borba and flies away with Borba's body.
Borba's backpack falls from her lifeless body, just 5 feet up.
As Floof and the backpack fall, you see it feather fall, and you see an orb of protective, I don't know if you want to call it a force field, around Floof as he floats to the bottom. Floof has time to process.
Can I quickly grab Borba's soul before it leaves?
She's not able to stay long, but if you have something you need to tell her, then I will allow it.
We'll start part two of our finale with a heart-to-heart. Bitches and gentlefolk, welcome to Tabletop Titties, a queer and feminist live Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition actual play podcast run entirely by people of marginalized genders. My name is Charlene Bear and I'll be your dungeon goddess this evening. My pronouns are she, they, and you can call me Char. Now, before we get into our finale of our second season, we do want to acknowledge the colonial history of Canada and how Canada has and continues to take from Indigenous people. The effects of colonization are still felt to this day, and we acknowledge that this episode is being recorded on the stolen lands of the Sequetmec, Semiamu, Catesy, Kwantlen, Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Coast Salish First Nations. If you would like to know more about the effects of colonization and support some Indigenous charities and organizations, you can go to the resources page on our website at tabletoptitties.com/resources. For the last time as an official episode, Marge's favorites are ready to go.
Hi, everybody. My name is Rachel Thielage. My pronouns are she, her, and I was playing Borba Skullcleaver, the orc barbarian, whose pronouns were she, her.
Or they just, all right.
I'm out. Bye.
Bye. Hello, my name is Kelly. My pronouns are they, them, and I play Asher Lochner, the changeling Way of Mercy monk celestial warlock, and their pronouns are also they, them.
Hello, my name is Sarah Mayfield. My pronouns are she, her, and I play Wilmer Adamith Myandus the third, and he is a half-elf wild magic sorcerer.
Hello, my name is Emily Matchett. My pronouns are she, her, and I play Steve, the gnome rogue artificer, whose pronouns are also she, her.
We are also playing the Hecna module. Tonight, the characters will be battling Hecna. This character is from that module. You can get it from Hit Point Press. It's available for pre-order. They also have so much stuff from their Kickstarter available for pre-order now at hitpointpress.com, including the Revelia tickets. They got popcorn dice. They got lots of cool stuff. And we have potential content warnings for today's episode, which include character death. I've checked in with all of my players in terms of what's good and not good for them, if we're letting the dice decide or if we have a sealed fate. And it might get a bit intense this episode, so feel free to take care of yourself as you need. Other content warnings include exhaustion, zombies, webbing, spiders, marionettes and clowns, insects and maggot-like creatures, monsters, bullying, gaslighting, coercion, and mind control. If you do want to skip out on the episode, no problem, because next season's going to be brand new characters.
Whoa.
But you know, Marge's favorites might come back for a few one-shots here or there.
For a moment, in media res, we see Marge burst out of Locke's carriage and eat a small purple mushroom with blue dots. Time stands still as the party is circled around Floof, and Marge kneels down at the center of you all and says, "Not on my watch. My namesake isn't going down without a fair fight." And slowly, a violet dome of light energy begins to emanate from a point above her, trickling down around you all in a 15-foot radius, covering you in protection. This takes about a minute of time frozen in this state, but when you all come to, you don't actually see Marge or the tiny hut dome that she cast, or the burning bouncy castle, or the piles of bodies surrounding you. You find yourselves in a beautiful emerald green glade, purple and green moss covering every tree trunk, and Borba is sitting down with her knees up, hands resting on them, and she's by a small campfire. A figure is about 20 feet behind her, leaning up against a tree.
What's going on?
Borba!
Who's that? Who's that?
Oh my god, you're okay! And then I just run up and I go to hug.
Hey, what are you doing here?
Well, Barge did a thingy.
I brought you here.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, that creature took your physical body, but I was able to claim a bit of you for a moment, as a sort of goodbye.
Yeah, I kind of figured since the last thing I remember is getting decked in the head with a fucking meatball, and I'm really pissed about it, so... Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you took it like a champ.
It was a meatball. Not cool, man.
No.
Fuck. Ball. I can't... What an asshole. And she's, like, super mad about it.
Who's there behind... Can I just know with my 26... passive perception?
Yes, you would be able to see that the figure behind Borba is actually one that you recognize as Asher.
Wait, are there two Ashers?
Hello.
There are currently two Ashers, one that came with you and Steve, and one that seems to be in this glade with Borba.
Can Borba turn around and see? Because I'm assuming Steve's like staring right at this person.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Hi.
The fuck's going on?
I'm just gonna, like, get off the tree and, like, slowly walk towards them. The Asher that you've been hanging out with has been not myself, per se. Sort of made a bargain, but it's not great to see you here, because that, the implications, I don't know how to explain this. That's Ash behind you, that's sort of been... working with you for the last day or two. I was hoping
your
that...
patron.
Yes, you would all remember that Ash was Asher's patron.
Fucking knew it. Twas the theory I was hinting at that I didn't want to say just in case I was wrong.
Well, our idea was to create a sort of simulacrum to not
what?
Not to worry you.
I don't understand the words that
you're saying.
So
Ash will take root here.
I'm going to stay here for the time being.
Asher or Ash?
Ash has sort of like just become immobile and starts like rooting into the ground a bit.
Yeah.
Ash is going to continue to protect you, but is not apparently doing a very good job. My hope was that they would do a better job than I. I'm sorry, Borba.
I mean, nobody expected the meatballs, man.
I did see that, yes. But as far as I know, we do have some time here.
Borba, darling, is there anything you would like us to do for you?
Honestly, just kick his ass. Hecna caused all of this. I don't know where Korak took me, but it's feels if I like do the whole meditation thing and try to like figure out where my body is. It feels really hot. There's like sand everywhere. And I think I heard like a stone door close. So I don't know if I'm by myself. No fucking clue where that is. But I have a feeling y'all won't make it to me in time to like do anything. Just kick his ass.
I hate to ask this, but is there someone you had in mind for custody of the cat? And all of your belongings, of course.
Yeah. I'd say let Floofed choose who he wants to hang out with.
That's fair.
That's what he did with me, and that seems like what he would want. As for the belongings, if anything of it is of use to you guys right now, you go ham. You're gonna need it.
It was a very cool axe you had.
Yeah, or hot. Could be either, really. Pretty sweet.
That was good.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't make it to the end with you guys.
No. Don't you dare apologize for that. It could have been any of us.
Yeah, I guess.
Except for apparently Asher.
Yes.
Asher, are you dead? Is what's happening here?
Yeah.
No. So this is part of Ash's glade. They sort of live in a demiplane. I don't claim to understand it. It's probably some magic holding bullshit. But they sent me here to observe. And in the event that everything goes all right out there, my hope is that I can reclaim the physical form.
Was the person we were fighting, like, is that personality still you, or is that just Ash?
Now that you all think about it, you can kind of remember since 3 or so days ago, the last time you all sort of gained new abilities, that Asher's voice wasn't quite right. That there were many things said that didn't really fit with the rest of the conversations. Yeah.
We'd spent so much time together at the hospital that Ash was pretty confident in mimicking me, but not 100% correct.
I had theories. I noticed things for sure.
Yeah, just kind of doing some wild stuff. They have sort of a vendetta against Tecna, so their primary focus has been keeping all of you alive to defeat Tecna. As I said, I don't really understand it, but again, I thought they would do a better job than myself.
Are you coming back with us?
I think it's probably best that Ash finish this, and then after the Revelia has been torn asunder, my hope is to rejoin you in the physical plane. It wasn't a 100% guarantee that I would be able to return, but the roots are nice. This place is peaceful, and Ash and I are good friends.
The campfire at Borba's feet begins to dim, signaling that you don't have much time left with her. So if you have anything you'd like to say, now would be the time.
I love you.
I'm going to be okay, kid.
I love you so much, Borba. You taught me how to be strong. Thank you.
Your style could have used more improvement.
Wow, fuck you too, Steve.
But the person underneath was good.
Thanks.
I'm gonna.
Hey,
no, fuck you.
Okay, yeah, fuck you too.
I'm gonna go up to Borba and put my hand on her shoulder and be like, I didn't know you for very long, but you kicked so much ass, so very hard.
Thanks. So did you.
Thanks.
I hate to be a burden.
What?
But
you couldn't.
I kind of owed somebody a date, and that's gonna be a really awkward talk to have. So, if y'all could bring her my axe, that'd be cool. At the end of all this,
I will do it.
Thanks. Yeah,
I really did not want to do that.
Yeah. I kind of looked at Steve a little bit more than the rest of y'all because I feel like Steve has
I definitely would have fucked it up hard. Kind
of chat. I mean, I could talk to her as you and just make her really hate you. Just make her hate you so much so that it's like, fuck you, go away.
That's cool. Thanks, though.
Can I touch?
Yeah, guys, you know what? Everybody get on in here and we're going to have a group hug. And as that happens, I would like to cast
Raging Bless!
Oh. What?
And if the DM would like to describe what that is, it's just Bless, but...
It's yes,
you all...
Barbarian Bless?
...are fueled with the Skull Cleaver blood in your veins, and the next moment that you enter battle, this Bless will activate, giving you... all, whenever you make attack rolls or saving throws, you can roll a d4 and add that to your total.
Ooh.
For any attack roll or saving throw up to 1 minute, and it only kicks into gear when you're back in battle.
Thank you, darling.
You guys got this.
I've spent some time in here, Borba. You should go into the forest. It's quite nice.
Yeah. It seems like a cool little place to vibe for a bit, and, for the first time in a really long time, I'm not scared of taking a nap, which is nice. So yeah, I think Borba's going to get up and slowly walk and disappear into the trees.
And as Borba walks, you all say your farewells. And while you were in that glade, the toy maker had been hard at work crafting the final magic item that you need for battle. They place it
all my shit.
By Loof's cocoon. Which, now that you're all back in your souls, in your bodies, you can see Floof's cocoon has grown about 4 times in size. And you can also see 3 potions of greater healing at Dr. Stella's feet, who's now napping, regaining her strength. And in this final few minutes of the tiny hut safety outside, you can see battle, Snout continuously attacking the sphere, but not able to penetrate it. And Floof's cocoon begins to open. And Rachel, please describe and introduce your character.
What?
Well, yeah. So, in place of who, what you would remember Floof to be, is instead of a small tabby cat, is a kneeling tabaxi in full plate armor. clutching an amulet and in prayer. And this is Sir Reginald Finley Brightclaw, the paladin. His armor is gleaming with silver and blue inlay and has the crest of a lion on the right shoulder pad. And you would recognize this to be the crest of King Leopold Freemane of Valishar, which is a very faraway kingdom on a separate continent than Wildwell.
Wait, is what he still fuck? Wearing the little bow tie that he had matching?
At this point, the bow tie would have gotten too small, so during his transformation, it would have come off.
Burst!
And I believe in this moment, he would be clutching it with his amulet. In his paw.
For anyone watching the stream, I replaced both Rachel and I's, and Rachel's is just horrifying.
Oh my god!
It's just a zoomed in version of Floof because we didn't have Tabaxi art.
Yes. He's like magical, like. Seeing this figure before you all, you're reminded. Mainly Steve and Wilmer, you would be reminded of this. Moments where Borba was engulfed in fireballs and Floof's fur began to glimmer like shining armor. This has been in the works for quite some time, and I'm excited that it actually ended
Lest
up happening.
Let's forget, like, that one time where Floof just went in the little, like, kitty door when we were in the original Wildwell trials and came out just, like, magic.
I think he will open his eyes and look at everyone and be like, what?
What?
Then I think
I was asking the same thing.
Are you aware that you're a full humanoid?
Do you
now?
Understand me?
Yes.
As much as anything else?
I look at my hands.
Yes?
My God, I'm back. It's a shame
from
that something.
What?
I have a lot of explaining to do, but it's a shame that such a traumatic event is what brought me to return to you all. But he gets up and
doesn't have to brush off his armor because it's gleaming and it always stays clean.
Of course.
But allow me to introduce myself. I am Sir Reginald Finley Brightclaw, protector of King Leopold in the Kingdom of Valleshire, and I was Floof. I was cursed for many years, and Borba found me and named me and called me that name. So I went along with it, as she was clearly sent from some divine being to protect and help me in this time of need. And, well, that's the gist of it, really.
What?
Yes. It's very complicated. I've been searching for Hecna, I suppose, for quite some time. I was sent on a quest to rid this realm of evil, and clearly that is this place. But I got too close, you see, and it seemed as though Hecna did not want me to find out about his dealings so soon, so he cursed me to be a simple feline.
Hey, can I insight all of this?
Yes, you may. Please.
Sure.
Rachel just comes in to fuck with us in the last episode.
Rachel is the big bad.
That's a,
joking about that's that, a 19.
I mean, with a 19, I guess you would know. I can tell him the truth.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming it like looks like Floof, like similar markings.
Yes, the markings are all the same, just like big and humanoid.
Still weird.
In stance.
Still weird. Still weird, bro.
Well, it is nice to talk to you, finally. And then I reaches out his hand to shake his hand.
Yes. Your Highness, it is finally wonderful to speak with you in proper common.
Hello, knight.
Yes. Now, I know that it all seems hopeless right now, but we have a job to do. I would not worry about our dear beloved Borba. God rest her soul. We have time to deal with such things, but we must move on and defeat the evil that is Hecna, as he is right on our doorstep. I know it seems hopeless right now, but look at all the things you have accomplished. So, the enemy knows that he has got us at a disadvantage, so he would try to break our spirit, but I will not allow that to happen. I've watched you all in my time form for some time now, and I know what you are all capable of as a team. Asher, Ash, now, you are as agile as some of my own kind, and you have kept this company alive with your medicinal skills. Steve, one of the most inventive and quick-minded gnomes I have ever encountered, and by the gods, are you skilled with those scissors? And
I like him.
Your Highness, he bows. Killing machine. Let us together add a few more to that body count of yours. Together we shall defeat Hecna for the good in all of this realm, for the Green Lady, for Borba. And with this brilliant, inspiring speech, you all gain 18 Ooh. Temporary hit points.
Huzzah!
And from the safety of this tiny hut, you watch as Hecna pulls on a gilded rope that falls from the ceiling, and two red curtains unfurl. The lighting dims, and a spotlight from an unseen source illuminates Hecna in a circular beam of warm light. Explosions of colorful confetti burst over him as his clothing shifts into an opulent suit, glittering from head to toe, and he grins, his mask spotless, as a magnificent stage unfurls beneath his feet. Semi-translucent audience members sort of begin appearing in the unfolding stands, cheering and whooping aloud, and Hecna draws a huge, colorful mallet and points it at the dome and says, "It's showtime!" And I need everyone to roll initiative.
All right, I got an 18.
It's a 12.
Oh, there you go.
18 for you, Wilmer.
Fuck. I got a 5.
Oof.
Shari messaged you in the chat.
You did long rest.
I'm going to have made a zombie, but it's just going on my turn, right?
Yes.
Okay.
There's
stuff I wanted to do during the long rest.
Yes, can I roll that innovator stuff. Yeah, but okay, please roll initiative first, just so I can set everything up.
21.
Okay, and we'll resolve this first, Steve. As during that long rest, you were able to create your or attempt to create.
Attempt.
And the toy maker is with you, so working together, you can roll advantage on each of these rolls.
Okay, so that's gonna be I already failed the first one, so never mind.
No, with the advantage.
Yeah, okay. I had to roll a 16 or higher, and I only got a 15 and a 12. I was trying to do something for the sake of actually explaining. I was trying to do one of my innovator feats, but alas,
what it was
the
gonna
hardest
be?
One. It was gonna be the bloodshedding butchery box. Which basically just means like you shove Hecna into it and he takes a shit ton of damage.
Oh my god.
But it was like a DC 25, so like I had to like get
pretty
high up there.
Okay. But with a 21 initiative, Steve, you were first.
Oh god.
I should say the showtime happened, which is one of Hecna's abilities. So as the lights dim and the show begins to start, you actually see pouring out of Hecna's mouth small iterations of himself, little Heck mites that begin dancing around him in perfect Rockettes formations, which are so dazzling to you all that you have disadvantage on attack rolls against him until his next turn.
Disadvantage on attack rolls. Okay, cool. How far away am I from Hecna right now?
Basically almost right in front of you, about 20 feet away. Because the 15 foot dome was around you.
I will take out my magical gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to shoot at him.
Go for
with it. With it. Oh no. Wait, how far away are we? Wait, no, I'm just going to do it.
20 feet away.
One. Wow. Hey, that's a critical failure and then a 7. So,
oof.
I was an 11.
The bullet with rotting vegetable goes shooting towards Hecna, piercing him in the side, and he just laughs at you, dealing no damage.
Hey, well, that's fine. For my second attack, I'm going to do the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Hey, how's a 14?
A 14 does not hit. I'm so sorry.
Hey, that's fine. For my bonus action, I'm going to activate Spiritual Weapon.
Yes,
because then I get to keep it for like a minute, right? It stays for a minute.
Yep.
And I don't have to recast it. I love that. So you see a giant pair of scissors just come out, and I'm going to guess that I miss. Oh, wait, hold up. 18 with disadvantage.
I should say, before we started this lovely battle, and before we started the episode, we also decided who was getting the Hecna boots. And wasn't that you, Steve? You and Wilmer. Which means that you wouldn't be at disadvantage because you would be rolling with advantage because of the boot.
I thought it was ability checks and saving throws.
Oh, no, I'm right. Yeah, you're right. Sorry. I'm an idiot.
How dare you give me that false hope?
I'm so sorry.
Does an 18 hit?
An 18 hits.
Okay, good. That's with disadvantage.
That's his AC. Now you know.
You see giant spectral scissors appear out of the air, and it does max damage of 13 damage.
Nice.
I think they slash past his arm, maybe.
Ooh. A bit of blue blood begins to seep out across Hecna's glittering suit. Anything else on your turn, Steve? You still have your movement if you'd like.
I will move away from my friends, but not like too far. Just like...
You tell me.
9 feet away from Reginald.
9 feet.
Nine feet away from Reginald. Not because I know that Reginald has some sort of awesome power. It's just 9 feet away.
Yeah. Within the 10 feet, even at 10 feet, you would still be within that range of Reginald's fantastic abilities. And I will say that Snout is like, if Hecna's right in front of you all, Snout would be positioned on your right.
Oh,
so I would say you would go to your left, Steve, away from Snout.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good.
Wait, how big is Snout?
Hey. Snout is huge.
Just kidding. I can't snare him. Never mind. Go back. I'm fine. Yeah, to the left.
Also, since you only are moving 10 feet, this doesn't inhibit you, but there are a strew of bodies around where the dome was. You can see the signs of battle that had been raging over the 8 hours wow. of your resting, mainly marionettes, constructs, and fellow revelers here. Wilmer, cool. It is your turn.
I have a question. So we slept in this yes. hut, and you said that while we were hanging out in the hut, we saw Snout try to break into the hut, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And he could not.
And he could not.
My question is, I would like to see, because we know that Snout is part of, grew from Hecna's nose was the wording. So my question mm-hmm. is, mm-hmm. would I be able to tell if this is some kind of schnozzling thing?
Yes. Given your yes. intimate experience with the schnozzlings, Wilmer, you would be able to tell that this is some sort of supersized, epically grown schnozzling.
Okay. Ew.
I would like, how far away is Snout?
From mm-hmm. you would be 20 feet to your
Perfect.
Right.
Perfect. I'm going to run right at Snout.
Yeah, you are. It's difficult terrain because of all the bodies. But you'd still, okay. I think you'd be able to be within 5 feet.
And I would like to try to rub some of that nose goo that I got, the blue cream, on the schnozzling just to see if anything happens. Yes.
Okay,
what
go
do you
for
want
it.
Me to roll?
Can you roll?
This
what would this be? Let's do medicine. Or animal handling. You can do either or.
Perfect. They're both the same.
Ooh. All right, it's up to you what you feel is most like what you're trying to capture.
I feel like medicine. I feel like I rubbed it on my nose enough. I rolled an 18.
Yeah. With an 18, you are able to get like a big glob of the remaining ointment that you had and begin to smear it and into Snout's
yeah.
body. It reacts very negatively. You can see it almost instantly. That it's like almost stunned is what you would assume is happening to Snout.
Ooh.
Almost stunned or actually stunned, Char?
Roll perception.
Yes. Ooh.
27, fuck you.
It is stunned.
Hey! Snout seems to be stunned, everyone.
Oh, thank you for telling me. I couldn't
Almost.
Tell.
Excellent. Let us kill it where it stands.
Ben, I can't decide if I like Reginald.
I love Reginald. Call wow. me your highness right away. That was pretty sick.
I was doing that from day one.
You don't count.
Wilmer, ew. That was your action. Bonus action
yeah.
or...
Yeah, I'm going to... So stunned...
Stunned gives you advantage me. On attacks against it. You also mm-hmm. would know that it would automatically fail any strength or dex saves it has to make, and it can't move.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I have a quick question.
Yeah.
So if I meta magic quicken spell and I have my monocle, can I teleport like theoretically simultaneously as I cast something and then just be away when it hits?
Mm.
Can I fireball Snout and teleport away?
Sure.
That's questionable.
No, I'll do something else.
So the monocle, I think we ruled on this before because the monocle only activates once you cast a spell. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. But what you can do is you can fireball in a radius that won't hit you. So because you're next to Snout.
And it's giant or huge or whatever.
Yeah. Cool. So you can still attack it and you can still then Misty step away from it.
Yeah. I will do that, please.
All right, go for it.
All right, I'm going to... Yeah, let's just do it. We only live once. I'm going to fifth level fireball.
Okay. Yeah.
And that Nail is it. 39 fire damage. And if it auto fails its dex, that's it, baby.
It does. And I shit you not...
What?
Snout had 39 HP left in the last battle. I knew it over that.
My God. Yo, we just one rounded this bad boy.
All right, everyone go home.
Good job, Wilmer. Killing machine.
Hey.
and I'm going to teleport next to my friends, and I'm going to strike a really cool pose.
Love it. At the end of your turn, Hecna is going to take a legendary action. And
no.
I'm so sorry. Hecna is going to say, well, why don't we switch things up? And Wilmer, you are switching spots with Hecna. And now you need to make a charisma saving throw.
Okay.
A charisma save?
Oh, okay. I have advantage because I had the boot.
Yes, you drank
the
lovely boot.
So maybe that three won't count. And then I rolled another three. So plus 10, that's 13.
Meant to be.
The DC for this was 13.
Actually, Marge's divination roll of 13 replaces whatever Wilmer rolled.
There you go.
Which was a 13.
Yeah.
No, but you'll add whatever your charisma mod is to that.
Oh,
so you make
shit.
It. So you are not incapacitated until the end of your next turn. You are just moved, but you are fine.
Just theoretically cool. Surrounded by a bunch of mini Hecnas.
Yep.
It's cool.
Just oh God. Okay.
They're mini.
And with that, Hecna is going to attack with this multicolored large hammer. Hecna is going to take two swipes, one at you, Steve, and one at you, Reginald.
Okay.
Which is on you, Steve, 15 to hit.
No. Child's play.
All right. And Reginald, this is a 20 to hit.
No. It does not hit.
Boom. Boom. Both of them miss.
Beef boy.
Oh.
It's so hard to be you, darling.
As he tries to hit, he brings up the bumper as his new shield and it ricochets off. 21 AC, baby.
Baby.
Heck yeah.
I see you've been working with the lovely toy maker. Breaking apart my train was one thing, but using it to craft these is something else. And he's going to cast Curse of Kookiness targeted at the toy maker, Dr. Stella, Reginald, and Asher. That's four of you.
How far away are the toy maker and Dr. Stella?
They're right with you.
Cool. They can't get frightened.
Awesome. which means that actually that means all of you are not frightened, which means that that ability goes away. Excellent.
Like, I just stare down daggers at Hecna. Like, you'll have to do better than that, fiend.
Here, hold this. And he reaches into his jacket pocket and launches something at you, Wilmer. You're now 60 feet away from the party. And can you please roll a d20 for me?
Okay, sure.
This is fine.
I roll a 2.
All right. A banana is launched towards you.
Oh, no, the banana. No.
You, Wilmer, can use your reaction to catch this banana if you would like. It's up to you if you would like to catch it or let it fall.
I feel like I'm catching it. It's a nutritious snack that's high in potassium.
Yeah. All right.
My sweet, sweet boy.
You catch the object. Are you currently holding anything else?
I am holding, I feel like I would have dropped my little canister of cream, but I am holding my little candy wand.
So your candy wand falls to the ground as you catch this banana, because it requires two hands to catch. But you are able to hold it, and it begins to emit a strange ticking noise that can be heard quite clearly out from you.
Wait.
I will let you know that your speed is now zero. And if you have to do a strength or dex save, you will automatically fail.
Okay.
You know that if this object hits the ground, if this object is attacked in any way, it's not going to be good.
No.
Put it in the bag.
Guys, bad banana.
such a fun. What a gas. Eat some bananas and, you know, you can make your shit pass. And then the-
what the fuck was that? You need to work on your lines, darling.
The heck mites around you, Wilmer, begin to crawl or not crawl. They're skittering on the floor. They're about like, you know, 2 inches high. As they begin gnawing at your feet, I'm going to make a few attack rolls for the swarm. 17.
That hits.
And a 15.
That does not hit.
Okay, so the half of the swarm is successful and you take 12 points of piercing damage.
Sweet.
It is at this point that it is initiative 15, meaning that you all can use your legendary action if you would like.
Yes.
Are you thinking the lock one? I'm thinking the lock one. I think we use all of the lock one.
One right away. Yeah. All of it.
100%.
All right.
Do all of the things.
All seven. Pew, pew, pew.
Simultaneously, pew, 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 pew. Basically all of the party looks towards Locke's carriage as he, the doors have already been burst open by Marge. You see Locke emerge with a singular stick that actually is very reminiscent to the stick that you once gave him, Steve. And he casts magic missile using all seven charges. I'm going to need some help, fam.
Just roll somebody... seven and then add whatever it is. Whatever the bonus is.
Because then it's an extra one. So it's an extra seven onto this. Thank you. Which is 18 plus seven. 25 damage towards Hecna.
Yeah.
As the darts go flying through the air. Actually, I always say darts because it's always Wilmer casting the spell. But as it comes out of Locke's wand, feathers with razor sharp tips and wings on the side fly towards Hecna, piercing his skin. Reginald, it is your turn.
All right. Hecna is right beside me, eh?
Yes.
Well, that's fun, because I'm going to go ahead and use a bonus action to shield master shove this motherfucker to the ground. So what? Let me just look. So if I take this action on my turn, you can use a bonus action to try to shove a creature within 5 feet of you with your shield. I'm assuming that's going to be a dex save. Let me open it up a little bit more here. Because it is a feat.
It'll knock it prone or push it away from you if...
Saving throw, yes.
What saving throw?
If you're... I believe it is... I'm sorry. I'm a new paladin player. I've never done this before and it's the last episode. I'm very stressed.
New paladin, who this?
Here we go. I figured it out. So you, as doing a shove roll, you're going to make an athletics check contested by his athletics check. Or dex, he can choose. He'll do athletics. Okay. Why not?
Cool.
I got a 15.
I got an 18.
Hecna swoops and falls prone next to you.
Amazing.
Which means that you get advantage on attacks against him if you don't already have it.
Cool.
Gonna do two attacks because I get two attacks with my Morningstar, which I have equipped. And I'm going to go ahead and do one.
Oh, hold on. Before you say the announcement of the roll, I just remembered that everyone also is currently at disadvantage because of the performance that's happening. Mm. So you have flat roll.
Okay. Okay, good. Because I got a 17 plus 8. Yes. So I'm assuming that's going to hit regardless.
Yep.
Cool. Amazing. Let's roll. So that's 13. I believe this is piercing damage.
Thank you.
And the next roll was a 15, so that's 22.
Yep, that hits.
Cool. I'm going to go ahead and use a smite on that, I think.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I forgot. I need to do that. So I'll use one of my first level spell slots right now to do that. And sorry, that is, I'm adding what to my damage?
I think you add 2d8 at a level one. And this is radiant damage.
Yes. Let me grab that. So the piercing damage is 12.
Okay.
And then 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 more radiant damage.
Oof.
Wow.
That's it. I use my bonus action and I use my actions.
All right.
And then that's it. I'm going to stand there and be like, sup, bitch. Fight me.
Sup, bitch. Fight me.
On the floor at your feet, Reginald. Hecna says, all right, why not? Seems like a good time. And reaches for your ankle using his shock and ha ability. Is going to cast shocking grasp. But first I have to roll to hit with disadvantage because he is prone.
He also, I also used the yucky bit, so it would have been disadvantage anyways.
All right. That first roll was a 27.
Oh,
second
shit.
Roll is way less, a 15.
Fuck yeah, man. I'm not, nope, doesn't hit.
Lightning.
I think he just moves. I just move my leg out of the way. I'm just like, no.
Lightning like, don't emits me, from his edit. Palm and nothing. It does not connect with your metal armor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, which I should say. Metal armor, you technically get advantage for shocking grasp, so it would have been neutral. But next time, I know.
Oh.
That's okay.
Flip.
Which means now it would have been Snout's turn. But Rip. Snout is no more.
No regrets.
So Dr. Stella is going to come forward and she's going to say, all right, well then let's try this once more. And she's going to cast Lightning Bolt at Hecna. Also in line with positioning half of the Heck Mites swarm as well. They are doing dex saves. Hecna passes, meaning he takes no damage here, but the Heck Mites fail. So half of them that are surrounding you, Wilmer, are gone.
Woo!
And I've used all my legendaries, which means Asher, it is your turn.
Heck yeah.
Or Ash, now that that's been revealed.
Ash. So I'm going to... So Hecna's just right in front of me, right?
Yep.
I'm going to begin to release those, like, tree mites and beetles and stuff from my body again. As I look down at him, I say, many years ago, you came into my land and destroyed my roots. Little do you know, I came into yours and built new ones. And I'm going to summon the stick from the ground as it forms in my hand, kind of growing like a tree, and I'm going to smash it down on him.
Go for it!
Does a 12 hit?
No, I'm so sorry.
No! Well, it was cool anyways.
I Do you have just, multiple attacks?
I'm a warlock. I'm not even a monk anymore.
Oh,
shoot!
I'm only a warlock.
Damn!
So it's gonna, like, get stuck in the ground and then begin rooting again as I just, like, stare at him holding the staff. And my zombie will begin to crawl off the ground. It's kind of like a purple tiefling and really... wrecked up metal armor with a picture of Saloon's symbol on it, but now it's just being animated by roots, and it's going to attempt to claw at Hecna.
All right. Oh, I'm so sorry. Hecna's prone.
Yeah, but I got disadvantaged because of the mite.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
So it's flat. Sorry, so much is going on.
Which my zombie will also do.
So you roll flat, yeah, for the zombo.
Yeah, unless the zombie is too dumb to realize that the performance is happening. That is much better than I did. That's a 18 plus 3. That's 21.
That hits.
It's a zombie. It's like a level 1 zombie, though, so it's not going to do that much.
I also should remind everybody also about your Raging Bless, which has activated.
Should use that.
So you have a D4, and it doesn't go away once you use it. It lasts for a minute.
That's 5 points of bludgeoning damage as this, like, tree zombie just starts, like, tearing at Hecna.
5 points bludgeoning damage. Oh, well, this isn't very fun. I didn't want to have my nails done.
What?
It's hard to rhyme on the spot. I don't know.
See how it feels? It's really hard.
Anything else on your turn, Ash?
Nope. That was all of my action economy.
And you want to stay where you are?
I guess if I moved, he'd have disadvantage, eh? So I'm going to walk about 40 feet back. I guess it's only about 20 feet. I'll walk wherever Wilmer went. I'm not going in that direction in case there's AoE damage.
So, yeah, Steve's on one side of Borba, Wilmer's on the other, to the right. Are you going backwards?
Yeah, I'll just kind of, like, hit a wall of the room.
Sure. I mean, you can't walk that far because you do have the scattered corpses around
you. Yeah, so 20 feet.
Yeah. It's just difficult terrain there. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we are back to the top of initiative, which means, Steve, it is your turn.
Hello.
And I'm so sorry. I actually lied, as it is the lair action, which I have to find my piece of paper.
How dare.
This is going to be edited out in the podcast. Scrolling.
In the meantime, what the fuck do I do with this banana?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I can just sense my impending doom.
Steve, please make a charisma saving throw as a variety of makeup brushes and palettes of colors come towards you.
No.
And you get the bless works for saving throws. Charisma.
Sorry. So am I flat or advantage right now? Because I did the boot, but I'm still at disadvantage because of the performance thing. So I'm flat. Yeah.
It's the top of the round. So the performance is over.
Oh. So I am at advantage.
Yes.
Good. Because not my best. Hey, 18?
You pass. The makeup brushes come towards you and attempt to give you a new full face, but you manage to buffet them away and you are able to take your turn as normal.
I love that. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm going to magical gun at Hecna.
Yeah, you are. just so you know, Hecna is prone right now, which would give you disadvantage. I think you have
disadvantage.
Yeah, prone for ranged attacks. If you want to attack with your scissors, you'd have advantage.
How far away am I?
You're 10 feet away because you want it to be within Reginald's aura.
Okay, so I'll move like the 5 feet so that I'm like within, because I took the gunner feat, so I don't have disadvantage on shooting up close.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that works.
So does that make it flat or
you wouldn't have the disadvantage at all? So you would have your regular advantage. I'll roll for that.
Wait, is it flat or advantage?
Advantage.
It is advantage.
Because of that feat, yeah.
Hey, I didn't get either of those. No. I got a 15 and 11. But hey, for my second attack, I'll do it again.
Yeah.
Fuck, that
Did
sucked
you add
ass
your
too.
D4?
That's a 13.
Because you're blessed.
With your bless.
No, I didn't. Fuck.
Do it twice for that last one, too.
Does a 3 bump up that first 15 to an 18?
Yes, 18 is the AC. Oh.
So I will hit on that one. Okay, so the first one does hit, and it does... 9 plus, oh my God, where is it? 9 plus, where did it go? No, fuck. Plus 9 regular and then 10 poison damage.
Okay.
I don't know if he's immune
you
to that.
You can see that
and then,
the poison does not
also
take effect.
Throw some 13 sneak attack on there as well, because Borb is right there.
Yeah. Reginald
and
is
then
right
my
there.
Reginald, sorry. Oh my God. my second one is not going to hit anyway, because it was a 3 and a 2.
All right.
But then my spiritual weapon will zip around. Does a 23 hit?
It does.
Cool. Dealing 9 damage. I think it's gonna past his leg this time.
At the leg, you see a bit of green blood seeps out from Hecna here.
Is it blood or is it paint? Like face paint?
Ooh, you're pretty observant. You can actually see that it is more paint-like in texture than blood. Mm. It's thinner liquid for sure.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Thank you. That's it.
All right. at the end of your turn, Hecna is going to say... Well, let's switch places. And Wilmer, you are back with your friends.
Damn you, Sean.
As Hecna takes your spot.
Is this a spell?
It is an ability.
Okay, never mind.
Wilmer, it is your turn.
Shit. Because I can't cast anything because I'm fucking holding a banana.
You can cast something that doesn't have movement
All
components.
All the cool ones do, Char.
I mean, you could also do something with that banana if you want.
Yeah, I could, theoretically. Let me just double check if I got any cool ones. I mean, I was going to do something, but now I'm done my plans.
It's okay.
I understand.
What would happen if you passed it off to me?
I'm not going to pass you a banana that might kill us.
Yeah, but I could catapult it away.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah, take this banana.
Steve, you and use your reaction to take this banana. Is that okay with you?
Okay, sure.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. And I'm fine. Did I just hand
Carefully
over the banana?
Take it.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
And it's still ticking.
Living the dream.
that'll be your bonus action, Wilmer. So you still can have your action.
Okay, I can live with that. I would like to cast a disintegrate on Hecna.
Ooh.
Yeah, go for it.
My favorite. Like, I love this.
You have to do a Dex 18 check. But also, okay. I feel like now's a really good time to use Marge's divination roll. I feel like two is the safe bet.
Yep. What save is this?
It's a dexterity save.
Yeah, there's no way. All right, that's a five.
Perfect. All right. Now, this is a lot of damage, but here's the thing with this much damage, Char. It's going to be more than this because I'm going to fix some of the numbers that are lower.
Ooh.
Because I'm going to
empowered
spell.
Yeah.
So,
holy fuck.
Please roll again on those damage.
Yeah, let me two just turns. Swap out some of those D6s and I can swap out five of them. Oops, that's one too many. How do I remove one? Oh, there we go. Okay.
Holy
so
shit.
So that is instead of 70, it's 70 minus 5, which is 65 plus 13, which is
75, 76, 77, 78.
Still
standing, but
murder
not
machine
looking good.
Good. You hurt my feelings.
Anything else on your turn?
No, because I don't have any bonus actions. Maybe I'll just slowly walk away.
The chat is reminding us of
a little further
wild magic.
Wild magic. Oh, yeah. Oh. Wild magic.
Thank you, chat.
Wild magic.
I always hope these fail.
Yeah! Oh, my God.
One.
Okay.
One. Roll.
Oh, my God. All right, here we go.
Turn into a plant. Turn into a plant.
Ooh. Grow a foot.
92.
That was a 92, which means if I die within the next minute, you immediately come back to life as if by the reincarnate spell.
Yo!
Hey! Whoa!
That's useful.
Clutch.
You actually take a step I back towards Hecna.
Let's go, bitch.
And that's my turn.
That wild magic saw the consent sheet and was like, you know what? I got this.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Except that your form could be different with the reincarnate.
Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. I'll just be a little
guy. Just reincarnate and then do like a goat.
Yeah. Floop is okay. Hecna is incredibly injured and he reaches up his sledgehammer and says, Scooter! Darling, oh, I'm in some need of assistance.
Oh, okay, sounds good.
And Scooter has entered the battle. Spitzbot, I need some healing. And Scooter will act after Hecna and is going to cast Healing Word at fourth level.
Scooter can suck a nut. I don't like him.
This should give you some assistance here. One moment.
And confetti and glitter surrounds Hecna as he is healed for 32 HP.
Duh. 32.
The Heckmites are next, and they are at Hecna's feet as they were currently attacking Wilmer before Wilmer skedaddled. And they are going to
forcibly teleported away.
They are going to absorb into Hecna as well for an additional 20 HP. And it is initiative 15, legendary action from the players.
I'm gonna scroll up.
What are we thinking,
fam? Shit. Let me scroll up. Hey, what if we did Marge on Scooter?
The sickening radius one?
Or, yeah, on Scooter.
That'd be good.
Or Magnanimo on Scooter. I just want to get the fuck rid of Scooter.
I have an idea for I have an idea for Scooter if you want to just use Magnanimo on Hecna. I could get Scooter out of here.
Okay.
All right, okay, cool.
Yeah, honestly.
All right, Magnanimo on Hecna then.
Mm-hmm. All right. Can someone roll that damage for me and decide what damage you would like to be done?
Yeah, what do we want? Do we want poison, fire, piercing, force? What do we want?
Not poison. My poison damage did nothing.
Not poison. Okay.
So
maybe fire? Because fire. We stay on fire.
Yeah. Yes. I like that. So who's rolling it?
Roll it. What is it? It's a
2d6 plus 4.
You have to roll to hit, I think, don't you?
Oh. Yeah, okay. Roll to hit first. The plus 8.
Wait, why isn't it roll? Okay, there you go.
All right, 13 there you go.
Plus 8, which is 21 to hit.
Yep, that hits. And then roll the next one at 2. Because I think it's 2 attacks. Is that right?
Is it 2 attacks or 1 attack? It says 3 times weapon attack.
It is 3 times weapon attack.
There you go. So 3 attacks.
Hey, Magnanimous. Great.
Yeah.
They are.
The other attacks were a 14 plus 8, which I'm guessing will hit because that's a 22. And then the other one was a 2 plus 8, which is a 10.
So that will not. So 2 of the attacks hit. Are you doing both of them with fire damage?
Do we want variant?
You want to do one fire and piercing?
Yeah, one fire and piercing.
Cool. All right, roll that damage.
You want me to roll them all at once? Or do you want me to do 2 separates? Okay.
Sure. No,
just
want
to learn he's resistant to piercing.
No, he's not because I hit him.
So that is 18 plus 8, which is 26.
Thank
right?
you.
Yes.
Magnanimo.
Almost all of that heal.
Three of the people that make Magnanimo burst out of their trench coat and go as I start to blast fire and glass at Hecna, dealing piercing and fire damage.
There's like just shards of glass, just like
and Reginald. Oh, actually, it'll be a legendary action here. And Hecna is going to just close his eyes and an aura of red mist envelops him as his legendary. Reginald, it is your turn.
Can I see him?
It's a difficult, like partial cover.
Okay, if I got closer, could I see?
Yep. He's 60 feet away from you.
Closer. I will move my full speed of 30 feet towards this horrific creature that I would like to murder.
Difficult terrain around you, so it's halved.
Okay, that's fine. And then what I'm going to do as a bonus action, I would like to cast Thunderous Smite.
Yeah.
At a first level. So that is... do I want to do that? No, I don't, because then I need to do a melee instead of a ranged attack, and I was going to do a javelin. So what I'll do is I'll just do a regular divine smite on my thunder javelin that I pull out from Borba's old pack.
Yeah.
Here. That's what I will do. I'm going to pull out that one, and then I will also, I'll do one thunder and one cold just to see. And I'm going to do one of the thunder one is the one with the divine smite.
Okay. Go ahead and roll to attack.
Okay.
Remember, you have your bless as well.
Right. That adds a d4 to that. Yes. I will grab a d4.
And you might have, I don't know if you have advantage or not from all your items.
I don't think I have advantage. He has disadvantage on attacking.
Cool.
Because he hasn't hit me yet. So that was plus 8. So that is... So that's 19 to hit on the cold one. Cool. And then the attack rolls, because I'm a stupid, actually have plus 2 because I have a thing as a paladin that I forgot about. That's basically me all day, every day.
All good. So yeah, that will definitely hit.
Oh, is it doing it already? No, it's not. Okay, so 10. So that's 12 cold damage.
Okay.
And then... Hi, I see you rolling an insight check. The fuck? And then this one is the one with...
The Divine Smite.
The Divine Smite. And that is... That's 18. That's 21 to hit.
Yep, that
hits. Then we will do the Thunder Damage plus the 2d8. So that is 10. So that's actually 12 Thunder Damage plus 7 Radiant Damage.
Woo! All right. Not looking good over here.
I'm wondering if I have anything else because I didn't. Using Divine Smite is not a bonus action. It's just part of the attack, yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
As far as I know.
Okay. I just want to see what I have as a bonus action. I'm sorry.
That is okay.
Hold on. I just want to make sure. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cast Shield of Faith on Wilmer, because he's near me, right?
Yep, he was transported back to you.
Okay, I'm going to use that. That's my bonus action. You get plus 2 bonus to AC for it's a concentration spell up to 10 minutes.
Don't lose concentration.
Awesome.
Yeah. Plus 2 to your AC, and it would be like, "You're doing amazing, Your Highness. Let's keep at it. We almost got him." That's it.
And as this shield envelops you, I realize I accidentally skipped our dear Hecna's turn. So his initiative will now be bumped down to 11 to be after Reginald, which means it's on my tracker. It still said Borba because I didn't have your sheet. It's not my fault. So Hecna is going to, with this red mist around him, it begins to swirl and pick up pace, and almost like a tornado whooshes in between Steve and Wilmer, and he's going to unleash his curse of kookiness. And I'm going to need everyone to make a wisdom saving throw because you're all within 120 feet.
Is this something we can add bless to?
It's a save, yep.
I have advantage on this, Emily.
Yeah. Do I need to roll?
Yes, you also need to roll, Reginald.
That's a 26 from your boy.
You pass.
Hey, that's a dirty 20.
You pass.
I'm using this D4.
That's a 25 before my D4.
You pass.
So
that's a 16 with the D4.
That is the DC, which means that you succumb to this, which means you are frightened for 1 minute. Wilmer, you begin to cackle feverishly. You cannot speak or cast spells, and you must move up to your speed each turn, dancing to music that only you can hear. You can repeat your saving throw at the end of your turn.
Your Highness, come towards me! Your Highness! Are you all
it's
right?
And I just want to be clear that you don't lose your action. You just can't cast spells, so you can still do something else on your action. But you do have to use your full movement on your turn.
Yeah.
Once this curse is emitted, only affecting you, Wilmer, Hecna is going to turn towards Steve with his giant mallet in hand and go bang, bang, twice on you, Steve. At 28.
I don't have my reaction back yet, do I?
You'll get it back on your turn. Not happened.
Okay, yeah, no, that's gonna hit.
Okay, and then it's gonna hit again for 24. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, that means you take a total of... Hold on, it's loading. I rolled so low on some of those dice. 27 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
Can you please make a DC or a strength saving throw for me?
Oh, I've got disadvantage because I got the banana, don't I?
Oh, I think you auto fail. Let me double check.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you
the banana was your foil.
Yeah, you auto fail. Fuck. You take an additional 10 points of bludgeoning damage and are pelted 30 feet away.
I'm sorry. In what direction?
A random direction. I'll roll a d4.
Okay, hopefully
I am unimpressed.
North, so back where Wilmer was when Wilmer and Hecna had been switching spots.
I hate this.
Fuck. So closer to Sir Reginald, though.
This is true.
Yeah, true.
Well, you just have to go Sir Reginald.
Steve, can you remind me what your current HP is at now?
89.
Okay.
Fine.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm fine. Hee-hee, I'm fine. I'm gonna need a DSR.
Yeah, it's fine. And then he just has so many things on his turn. I'm so sorry. Oh, and then finally, Wilmer, you're right next to him. You here, hold this. And he reaches into his pocket. Please roll a
d20. It's another banana. I love holding things for you. What a great idea. You're so fucking scary, dude.
I rolled a 14.
A massive king-size bed is pulled out of Hecna's suit, need to use two hands to hold.
I would like to state that Wilmer is not strong.
Oh, no.
Wait, so king-size bed can explode?
Yes, it is also ticking.
What sort of foul magic is this?
And I'm out. And he's going to use his exit stage right ability to appear next to Scooter.
What the fuck?
And that's the end of his turn.
What a trickster.
Dr. Stella is going to rush over. Oh, you're so far. Ah, damn it. Dr. Stella is going to Misty Step. She will Misty Step towards you, Steve, and use the rest of her movement when she's out of the carcasses to place a hand on your shoulder and say, you look so darn good in your outfit. You got to make me one of these. And she's going to heal you with Cure Wounds.
I hate to be teacher's pet, but Misty Step is a first level spell.
Yeah.
Because I was going to cast Misty Step and then cast a spell, but you can't.
She didn't cast a spell. She cast Misty Step to get there.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, she's next to you. And she places the legendary potion that she had instead at your feet, which is a superior healing, a D4 plus 8 potion. But she cannot give it to you.
Useless, because I have this banana that's going to explode.
Eat the banana.
No.
I want to eat the banana.
That seems like a very terrible idea.
Wait, can I eat the mattress?
Your Highness, I strongly advise against that.
Asher, it is your turn. Hecna is now next to Scooter.
Is anyone near me?
No.
Okay, good, because the bugs are still swarming. Oh. How far is Scooter? Please say 40 feet.
You had already moved closer, yeah, within 40 feet.
All right, good. I'm going to uncork the potion of flying that Steve gave me, mm-hmm. and glug 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 glug, and just start like floating like Willy Wonka, and I'm going to fly 40 feet towards Scooter,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to turn as I'm flying. I'm going to turn to Hecna, and I'm going to say, "I tire of having to deal with your underlings. This is between us and you." And I'm going to reach out and attempt to cast Plane Shift on Scooter.
Is this a save?
I have to hit first.
Okay, Hecna uses his reaction to cast an aura of mischief over you. Please roll a d20 before you proceed.
Damn it.
Oh, no.
This is a 4.
A 4.
You it begin wasn't to, a save or anything, it was just a d20?
Yes.
Yeah.
You begin to vibrate at a freakishly high speed, thus giving you disadvantage on the attack.
God dang it. All right. I'm going to hit
him. Do you have advantage for another reason?
I don't think so.
Okay. I just want to double check because there's so much going on.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Go for it.
So we're going to grab the lowest of the us. Ooh, which is still a... 14 plus 10 is 24.
To hit Scooter?
Yeah.
Yeah, it still hits.
And damn so it. What I do is, as I'm gyrating now, my hand just fully turns into, like, the base of a tree. And almost like a face hugger, like, grabs onto Scooter's face. And the ground beneath him is going to start, like, rooting up around him. And because of Dr. Stella, or because of Marge's divination, he's going to roll a 5 on the save against this.
Okay, yep.
Which the DC is 18, so...
he does not pass. He gets a 12.
No plus 13.
The ground is basically going to, like, build this whole root system around Scooter. And
oh,
then just,
God!
Like, pull him down into the ground and send him to the demiplane that Asher is currently located. Where okay, Asher will probably kick his ass. I don't know. We'll see.
Scooter is off of the battlefield. Does he make his save again at the end of each of his turns?
I don't believe so.
Wow.
I believe if He's the creature gone. Fails to save, it is transported to a random location in a plane of existence you specify. A creature so transported must find its own way back.
Figure it out, idiot.
Your boy's just in a demiplane.
Just figure it out. Scooter, you're fucking lieutenant or ringmaster now. You figure it out, big boy.
Wow. Anything else on your turn?
I'm just going to look. I'm going to slow, like a tree moving in the wind, slowly turn to Hecna as just like a beetle crawls out of my skull mask and like rummages around my face.
Yeah.
We watched Jumanji last night. So
at the end of your turn, Hecna snaps his fingers and balloons begin to cascade down on you. Please make a dexterity saving throw, Asher, and anyone within 15 feet of them, which I think would just be Asher.
So that's a 12 plus my bless, which is a 14.
You fail the save. As the balloons begin to pop, you take... It is rolling. One moment. You take 32 points of piercing damage as razor-sharp confetti buffets you, slashing and piercing into your body.
Just like shreds of root systems and stuff flying off.
And that is it, which means we are at the top of initiative. And I have to remember, before Steve goes, my lair action, which means that Hecna unleashes more Heckmites in front of him, this time coming out of his new outfit, which is now a like 50s diner woman's dress and apron. Outside of the front pocket, mini Heckmites surround Hecna and begin to cheer and clap for him. And it is your turn, Steve.
Very out of style. I am going to a first level catapult this banana. At
where are you? Ooh, yeah, you are. Okay.
So it's a dex save from Hecna. DC 18.
He got a nat 1.
Fuck yeah, he did.
And I'm going to use... I'm so sorry. I'm going to use his legendary resistance.
No.
To choose to succeed instead.
Yes.
But what does that mean? Does he still take half of his damage?
I don't know what the banana does.
No. The job is... failed save.
Because the banana still has an area of effect,
It'll still hit the right area.
Yeah. Like, okay. So we'll say that Hecna will take half of this damage as it doesn't directly hit him, but your catapult does go flying towards his feet, and he dashes out of the way just in time. Please roll the damage for me, which is
16 divided by 2 would be 8. And then is there any of my friends within 5 feet of him?
No, but please roll. Oh, yes. And also there's so much more damage happening with this banana. Holy crap.
Hold up. Okay, hold up. Pause. Let me sneak attack first.
Wait, do I take this damage as well?
Oh, you'll take the banana damage.
No, banana damage!
8 from the sneak attack. Okay. So back up to 16 from the catapult total.
Okay, thank you so much.
Plus the D4, question mark?
This is the damage, so no.
Oh, not the actual. Okay.
How much banana damage do I take?
What's the banana damage?
Oh, God. Okay, please roll 8d6.
Oh, my God.
And Asher, please make a dex save. You might take half of this.
All right.
It's not bad. 25.
All right, okay. I rolled a 20.
Okay, so you pass. So you only take half. So you'll take 13.
13 it is.
I first leveled that, yeah? Okay, cool.
Yes.
Just molten bananas hitting my face. Oh, no.
Anything else on your turn, Steve?
Bonus action, spiritual weapon.
Yes.
Hey, this is a 29 hit.
Hold on, though. Your spiritual weapon, how does it work with movement? Because Hecna is in an entirely different spot now.
It can, as a bonus action on your turn, you can move the weapon up to 20 feet and repeat the attack against a creature within 5 feet of it.
Okay, so it's about 30 feet away right now.
No.
But you can still move it to be closer.
Yeah, I'll move it to be closer.
Okay.
Shitty.
Sorry.
Oh yeah, my zombie's also just slowly walking towards Hecna.
Just like tripping on all the dead corpses.
Oh boy. Anything else on your turn?
Let me just double check. Let me double check that that's actually what I want to do, since I can't actually attack. Oh, you know what though, but true. I want to. I have a spell that I've never used before. Hold up. I'm trying to see if I want to use this. No, I don't want to use that. It's fine. Okay, cool. Yeah, spiritual weapon. Just move it closer.
Cool. At the end of your turn, Hecna kneels down towards the splattered banana bits, covering also actually the Heckmites. I was going to say he absorbs them, but they would totally be dead.
Yeah.
No!
Covered in bananas.
Yeah, they do not survive that blast, which means that he cannot heal himself with that. So instead, he is going to...
Sucks to suck.
How far are you from him, Steve?
You said that the spiritual weapon was like 30 feet. I think I was around the same, so...
Yeah, okay. Hecna is going to remove his mask. And this will affect Steve and Asher, but Wilmer and Reginald, you are out of this range. Please make a wisdom saving throw. This DC is 18, and you can use your bless on saving throws.
I nat 20.
Fuck yeah.
Mine's 24.
Yeah. Okay. Both of you pass, which means you only take half of this damage.
Boo. Okay.
As you all are faced with an aura of Steve, you are so familiar with this aura of stars and villainous galaxy-like mist that is under Hecna's mask. The total damage was 46, so it's going to be 23 damage. This is psychic damage.
All right.
Both of you pass, so no additional effects happen.
That's what is where his face is?
Yeah.
Okay, underneath cool. His I was mask thinking about ripping that face, that mask off, but now I'm very glad that I didn't.
And that was Steve. So, Wilmer, it is your turn.
As I am growing very intimate with this giant mattress, is ew. It? Can I tell if it's magic?
Tick, 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 tick. You. It seems like it's a normal object, not magical.
Fuck. Me. Okay. I guess I'm just gonna. Wait. No, I'm dancing and running around.
That's right. But you still have your actions. Yes. But you do have to move with this. So, actually, good reminder. Can you make an athletics check for me?
Okay.
Please. As you're trying to dance and move as you hold up this king size bed.
Athletic. And. Oh, I don't have anything. For it because it's just a straight roll because I am still kind of exhausted. So that was a 13 minus 1, 12.
You begin to struggle. It's hard for you to hold up this bed, but it hasn't yet touched the floor. You have this ominous feeling that if you let it touch the floor, something bad will happen. As you just saw the banana explode.
What do you do with a mattress, guys? I'm struggling over here.
Wouldn't tell you.
Okay.
If you would like to call to Dr. Stella or Marge's aide, they are two that could come by and help you hold this mattress.
Yeah, if you're not near anyone, couldn't you misty step away from it and just let it blow up where it hits?
Excellent true. Idea. But you cannot cast spells because you are under the kookiness curse.
Okay, yeah, I need some help over here, guys. I'm really struggling.
Okay. Dr. Stella is near Steve, so Marge will come to your aid on initiative 15. But what else would you like? You still have a bonus action if you'd like. Unless I said that that's not the case with this kookiness curse. Let me reread it.
I'm a magic spell-based character. I don't have any non-magical bonus actions. So I'm gonna...
You're gonna have to move, though. You have to move up to your speed.
Okay, well, I will move up to my speed towards my friend that's running towards
Marge.
Me to help me with his magic.
Okay, yeah. yeah, and at the end of your turn, you can also make the save perfect. Again for the kookiness.
All right. Okay, let's see if I'm still scared.
And don't forget, you're blessed. Ooh,
thank you. I just need to roll slightly. Oh, 17?
Yes, you pass. Yeah. You are no longer kooky.
Yay.
Darling, dude.
The Heckmites are gone. Scooter is gone, which means it's initiative 15. Marge is going to come and help you with this mattress. She can take it from you if you would like.
Oh, yes.
Wilmer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
She'll help you with the mattress, but you do have to buy pizza and beer for her.
done. I will get you all of the cigars you want, Marge. Please help me.
And with this also being the initiative 15, I would say that Steve, as a legendary action, you have that potion at your feet that you can drink from Dr. Stella, which is 8d4 plus 8.
Do it.
If you would like to. You also could keep it if you want to give it to somebody else. Are you rolling?
Mm-hmm. Steve?
Emily?
Steve.
What's happening right now? Is it me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was if looking... you want to drink the potion.
I'm sorry. I was looking at chat. There was stuff going on in chat. I'm really sorry.
God. I was like, can you hear us? Okay. Like, would you like
to
drink?
There was way too much silence and I was like, shit, it's me, isn't it?
Would you like to drink the potion at your feet? It's 8d4 plus 8.
Yeah, I would, please.
All right, go for it.
8d4. I'm so sorry. Plus 8. Okay. 15 plus 8. Which I don't want to do the math on, so I'm just going to hit 15 and then 8 in.
There you
go. Awesome. There we go.
You did it.
Back at 89.
Yay.
I'm going to edit it out. It's fine.
No, keep it.
No, it won't. It'll stay in.
Reginald, it is your turn.
Oh boy. All right. It's just Hecna left, right?
Yep.
Cool. This would fuck up my other concentration spell, but I really want to compel duel to Hecna to be like, come and fight me and only me because I do damage.
Mm.
Okay. I'm going to just rush up. I'm going to try to just go towards Hecna and hit the bastard. That's
yeah,
all I'm gonna do.
Go for yeah, it.
I'm just going to do that. Okay. I don't want to get rid of the extra AC from my buds. So we're going to roll my Morningstar. That is... We have to add the D4 to the attack roll, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. That's a 19 to hit.
That hits?
Yeah. Cool, because I roll a 4. Amazing!
Well, that are you is, smiting in this?
This one... Yeah, why not? I'll use my last first level spell slot. So that's 11... That's 13. My reasoning for adding the plus 2 is my fighting choice. My fighting style is dueling. So yes, my melee weapon does an extra plus 2. By the way, I didn't explain that before. So that is 13 piercing. And then an extra 2d8. That is 13 radiant damage for the first attack. And I will roll again to attack a second time.
Yep.
Because... Fuck yeah, bud.
Big old paladin.
13 plus 2. So that is 15 to hit. I don't know if that will hit.
You also are blessed. D4.
That was with the D4.
Oh, sorry.
I rolled a 2.
So 15 does not yeah, hit, but that first one does.
Cool.
And sorry.
Well, what I will do then is I will use my bonus action to shove this boy to the ground again.
Yeah. All right. I'm so sorry, though. I missed the amount of smite damage you did.
That was... I put them down here, so sorry.
Sorry.
That was 8 and 5, so that was 13. Sorry.
With 13 damage, Hecna is dead.
As a reaction, I'm going to steal that fucker's soul.
Yeah!
I will, as this is happening, we swing my Morningstar as it glows with radiant power, and I will look at him dead in the eye and go, this is for Borba, you fiend, and I smash him across the face.
As this happens, the expressions on Hecna's mask begin to cycle and jitter, cracking, and underneath this galaxy begins to ooze out, and you see a pained grimace on his open mouth look of like shock turn into a wide grin, and he says, I think I might need to workshop this joke. And his grin freezes into a foul rictus trapped in an eternal smile, his soul sucked into the staff of Asher, and a wind from this almost unseen source picks up, and the ground beneath you all sort of tilts you slightly off kilter, as if you stand on a whirling top. And around you, you see that the Revelia dissipates with a gust of wind, of Hecna's magic just disappearing like dust. the large buildings, the hostel that you spent so many nights in, the Big Top where you saw those shows and did the Feywild Extreme, the Fun House, the Room of Cheese are gone. Drooping tents or small, simple buildings appear before you in the middle of a forest clearing. The amalgamations turn into strangely shaped stuffed animals that fall to the floor. And above you, light breaks through the canopy of trees as the sun rises over the forest, bright and warm. And in the center of the clearing rests a humble wooden wagon with colorful patterns painted on the sides, Hecna's original residence. This is where the Revelia began and where it now ends. You have succeeded in your quest, avenged Borba's death and all those who died at the hands of Hecna, be they revelers or Wildwell trial contestants. The gust of wind continues to blow around you, billowing your cape, Steve, as on your wrist your dear bobbin shines and glimmers in the sunlight. Wilmer, your waxen chest slowly dissipates to your normal skin.
My six pack.
And a slight six-pack is now visible underneath.
Ooh. Yeah.
Eddie is happily at your side.
Fucking Eddie!
Reginald, your armor glints and practically glows due to the brightness of the forest, filling you with courage for the next arm of your quest. And the sun rays cascade down through the openings of the forest trees and fill this body with energy, Ash, as flowers blossom and moss stretches out along its limbs before you. And we are going to transition into our epilogues for these characters.
Hold up. I want to set that Hecna's whatever on fire.
Yeah.
Oh, the wagon?
Burn the sure. bitch.
Set the fucking wagon on fire.
Yeah.
I fucking haven't used this since season one, but I use arcane weapon to set my rapier on fire and then I stab it.
So poetic.
Hey, I stab it.
Ooh, can you make marshmallows, Ash?
Ash is like completely not reacting and is sort of just like standing there as just like roots and stuff are forming around their legs.
Okay, it's fine. We don't need marshmallows.
And the wagon begins to engulf in flame. And you all see various revelers now around you, no longer with schnozzlings attached to their nose. Their garb has transformed back to their regular selves. And Asher, amongst the smoke and flames and harmony, I'm going to need you to make a wisdom save with advantage to get your body back. But please tell me, I know you've been keeping track on things that would make this either difficult or more easy for you.
So seeing Borba walk into the trees has told Ash that the place that they have created is a peaceful place, so they don't feel as bad leaving Asher there. So it's going to make the DC harder.
Oh.
Not actually killing Hecna themselves also made it harder, but they do want to go into the demiplane to convince Scooter to basically work for them now, which makes it a bit easier. And they also have Hecna's soul there, so they would like to also talk to Hecna and see why the fuck they did that.
Essentially a straight roll.
Yeah. It did even itself out a little bit.
The DC is going to remain hidden as you do your roll.
All right, with advantage. Oh, boy. Asher really wants to get back. So I think seeing Scooter just, like, pop up in front of them, Asher's like, put it back. And then just, like, the wispy soul of Hecna appears, and Asher does not want to be here anymore.
Asher, you find yourselves back, yourselves, sorry, I'm back to singular now, find yourself back in your body. And there are fresh moss and flowers amongst your limbs. But what really catches your eye is the revelers that are around this burning wagon. Looking for something, they appear to be extremely displaced.
So Asher and Locke, who Asher did give the map back to Clearfrost, are basically going to spend time gathering as many of the revelers as there are, sort of weeding out anyone who worked for Hecna willingly, and grab the ones that are displaced and basically were stolen by Hecna. They're going to make the grueling, like, month-long journey back to Clear Frost, basically, like, training these people on what to expect when they get to the city, as well as, like, how to survive, and, like, the lessons and stuff that they learned in the Revelia can help them become adventurers themselves, or, like, use, like, the toy maker can become a toy maker in the city and bring joy, and, I don't know, Alice can become a carnival worker for a legit carnival. Who knows?
I was going to ask you as well, with your polyamorous relationships, is Alice something that you would like to continue with?
I think once Asher spends the month training people, they sort of feel too much in almost like a teacher role to pursue that, and will instead like make sure everyone's doing okay and be friendly with everyone, but not pursue a romantic relationship with Alice. And instead, going back to the Institute, once they're convinced everyone is sort of set up in the city, they're going to resign from the Institute itself, grab a few seeds of ash from the courtyard of the Institute, and return to the city to begin planting just nice little versions of ash, greenery everywhere, and try to cultivate this new land that Ash can survive in, having no clue what the hell happened to Hecna or Scooter at this point.
And as you are faced with the imminent task of making sure that all these revelers are set up for success in their new home of Clear Frost, exploring their strengths, their abilities, we fade out on Asher and zoom in on Pinewick as we see Steve is hard at work on renovations to her shop. Although, of course, she makes it look effortless. And Steve, as the Martin Steve sign is being lowered down by Bobbin's magical threads, what is the new shop sign appearing before you?
Yeah, so Steve has rebranded is still, we'll still do like the normal high fashion stuff because this is a bread and butter, but she's doing a lot more artificery things. And the sign going up is BS Cleavers.
Inside, there are a wide array of new items. Only a single wall dedicated to couture and accessories and capes. But the rest of the shop is filled with more of your new strengths of being an artificer, Steve. Is there anything that you want to really dive into as you explore this new side of your work?
I think like what she had for herself was like making the threads of her clothing magical to up her AC.
Mm-hmm.
So more of that.
Various
which mechanically
designs.
I can't actually do, but I do.
It's fine. Various sundresses built with built-in armor appear, reminiscent of those that you made for Mila so long ago. And there's actually a knock at the door while you're in your shop.
It's open.
Oh,
the sign says open.
Sorry. Go on in. Gosh, she's waiting for us.
And inside appear Mango and Margo with a full line of kids behind them looking to buy armor.
Mila sent us, please. I don't know what my measurements are, but I would really like a new set.
A new set? What were you wearing before?
Well, just my dad's old leather, but it's kind of falling apart now.
No, that won't do at all. And I will measure them all up and make sure that they have the appropriate garments for adventurers.
This is so cool. We're going to be the best looking adventurers that the Bard School has ever seen.
Of course.
And we fade out as we see, actually not too much farther. We are in Swamp Point. The docks creak as the water flows underneath, as time has passed since we were last here, the water underneath the docks is much less swampy and more clear. The pollution of Fearfort has diluted quite a bit, and more fish are available at the docks. And we see Reginald walking with a sense of purpose towards a building.
Yes. Reginald is trying to find residence of a papaya at the moment. So that is where he is heading. And tell her a few things. It'll be awkward as shit because, you know.
So glad that Reginald decided to take that job on.
Yep.
Well, I didn't want to do it.
Yep.
And you see at the base of, or at the sides of one of the doors at Swamp Point's docks, two crossed tritons waiting, almost beckoning you forward. And you know that you've arrived at the right spot. The door, there's a screen door closed, but the wooden door behind it is left open, and you see a beautiful maiden with blue tinted skin, hard at work, with a variety of books in front of her, doing what looks like research.
Is this the residence of Mistress Paya?
Oh,
I'm standing like very formal at this point, holding the axe in my two paws up front.
Yeah, that's me.
I don't believe you would recognize me, but we have met before.
And she takes a moment. You couldn't be... No. There's just something so familiar about your markings that you have on. You're not to be rude, but you do seem very familiar. I'm so sorry. I can't remember your name.
Well, my true name... What's... Cut... Just say it. I'm Floof.
And her eyes widen. Of course. I didn't mean to say anything, but it did seem like it was you. Wow.
Yes.
Please. And she opens the screen door. Come in. And suddenly her sense of excitement drops as she realizes why you are probably here.
Well, this is awkward. I come bearing grave news, but also a proposition. If you wouldn't mind, I would like to come in and chat with you about it. And I would, since she invited me, and I will come in. As you could probably guess, our dear Borba did not return from our journey. And I thought it'd be best that you have this. And I pass over the axe.
She grabs it with both hands. And she says, Rage? And nothing happens to it.
It was revenge, but it's okay.
I tried to be cool.
It's okay. I have not a request, but a proposition for you. Before she passed and was taken from us, I managed to cast a spell that allows us time to, well, to possibly resurrect her. We only have 10 days to find her, and I know you are a very capable adventurer yourself, and I was wondering if you would like to accompany me.
Yes, of course. I just, I've been working on my spell casting. I'm not the best, but I know that there's, and she brings you to the table where she had a bunch of books laid out. I was just actually researching something that actually would probably help us in this. It's called a Stone of Seeing. Do you know where she is?
Not exactly, but she did. We were able to talk to her spirit before she passed on, and she mentioned it being very hot, and there was sand, and there was something about a stone door. She didn't really give me much else than that. I'm sure she didn't know exactly where she was taken either.
Well, with that...
There can only be so many desert places around.
I would assume it would be off to the east. But with the Stone of Seeing, if we can find it, it would help us with spells like Locate Creature or other sort of scrying spells that would potentially be able to give us more information on where she is. I think we might be able to... Do you remember Biscuit?
Yes. That mouse creature, yes.
he keeps going on and on about being the greatest wizard in the world, and I think...
Well, I say let's hold him to that. Why don't we go pay Biscuit a visit?
If anyone has the Stone of Seeing, it's probably him. Yes. I think he's still up at the castle, and you head off on your quest. And that means that we are down to Wilmer. Wilmer, you teleported back to Wildwell with Steve, with Borba, with Steve, with Reginald, using your circle of teleportation abilities. And now we see you in the midst of being hard at work. About 8 months has actually passed, even though it only seemed like perhaps maybe 3 weeks had happened in the Revelia of you being away. And we zoom in on you hard at work with Sia. There are files scattered open on a large, elegant wooden table in front of you. And there's an electronic bulletin board behind you where we see plans for several new committees of Fearfort, with an alert at the bottom of the screen that says, all hands committee meeting, 1 p.m.
I would say that while... we're like working together. I'll look over beside me on my desk, and there's gonna be a little framed picture of when me and Borba were on the ride and getting attacked by Schnozzlings and shit.
Good old Gary whipping his giant arm around. Yep.
And he's gonna just smile and he's gonna be like, yes, we need more rides and roads. And he's like maniacally drawing lines. He's like, and trains to take you from one place to another to see all the great things. And he's like, and then I would feel like Sia's right beside being like, we have time.
Yeah, will we let's just one step at a time.
We can get there. And then he just like nudges her with his shoulder.
Don't make me practice fencing on you again.
Okay, that's not fair. You've been practicing for way long. I just took like a month off and you've been hard at work on this. I don't think it's a fair fight.
Okay, killing machine. The world will know all of your stories. Marge's favorites, champions of the Wildwell Trials, freers of the Revelia, slayer of the demonic Hecna, will go down in history. Listening to Tabletop Titties Into the Revelia.
Charlene Bayer is our Dungeon Master, and our Season 2 players include Emily Matchett, Kelly Wright, Sarah Mayfield, and Rachel Thielade.
Our sound engineer and logo designer is Kelly Wright, and our episodes are edited by Emily Matchett.
All music featured in Tabletop Titties is from the website Pixabay, incompetechmusic.com by Kevin McLeod, using a Creative Commons license, or freemusicarchive.org. In our second season, we also feature music created for the Hecna Kickstarter by Mint Potion.
The easiest way to support Tabletop Titties is by becoming a patron at patreon.com/tabletoptitties.
And don't forget to check out our merch at threadless.tabletoptitties.com.
For more information, including a full list of songs used in every episode, please check out our website, tabletoptitties.com. That's Tabletop Titties with double D's if you know what we mean.